And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Not the prettiest day today, and it wasn't the prettiest weekend either, was it? No, it was pretty gloomy, dark. Yesterday we had some rain here and there, but the real rain came overnight, and today it just doesn't seem to want to stop. We still have that nagging, for the most part, light rain, but pretty soggy out there. So we make our own sunshine today. Lots of guests to visit with on the It's Your Turn program today. A little bit later, we're going to be chatting with writer Nicole Meyer. Also later on the program, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, Stan Kosciuszko, and the executive director of the chamber, Jordan Grady, will be joining us. But our first guest with us here in the studio right now is the pastor of the Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church, and that's Pastor Ron Schermerhorn. Pastor, good to see you. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. We've been looking forward to this time, Dave, to sit and talk with you for a while.
Well, I'm anxious to meet with you, find out a little bit more about your church, and also for folks who might have to leave us shortly here, maybe they're in the car getting ready to pull into the mall or the supermarket, you have a really big group coming to your church this weekend for a concert, the Blackwood Quartet.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous. They're very, very well-known quartet. They've been singing for many, many years. Well, they go back to 1934, as a matter of fact. The Blackwood Brothers Quartet, J.D. Sumner, you know, tremendous, tremendous background. And when we found out just a few months ago that they were going to be up in the area, they had a free date. And we said, we snarfed them up as soon as we could.
Are any of the original members still there? Or have they?
No.
I mean, that's 1934. It's a long time ago.
Right. Yeah. It does go back quite a ways. This, the Blackwood Brothers do still travel. The Blackwood Quartet is Cecil Blackwood. His son, Mark, formed the Blackwood Quartet back in 2012. So it's still the same group, same quartet.
Mm-hmm. Same family, huh?
Same family, mm-hmm. That's right. And we're just very, very excited about it. They sing the good old stuff. You know, I sang in a men's quartet and a men's trio back when I was in high school and traveled around to churches and sang. So, yeah, they sing the good old numbers, you know, Where Could I Go But to the Lord, and some of these old songs that everybody knows.
Great traditional gospel tunes, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great, great stuff. They're out of Knoxville, Tennessee. And, they've been around, man, for a long, long time. Turn Your Radio On. They sang Turn Your Radio On. They were on the TV, you know. They were on Hee Haw and stuff years ago. Sang with Elvis and a bunch of guys. So very, very rich tradition, and they really have kept it up. And we're just very excited that they're coming.
So when exactly will they be at Mount Chestnut Presbyterian?
It's Saturday night, the 12th, at 6 o'clock. And, there's no cost. There's no tickets. You just show up at the door, and we'll be happy to seat you. There's going to be an offering taken for the quartet. But we've brought them in. We're excited about them coming. They have a tremendous sound, really. And it's a sound that, man, it just goes back years and years ago. If you heard them back in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, it's just exactly the same sound. And very, very rich, good Southern country.
I've heard
gospel stuff.
Their recordings. I've never seen them live in person. Have the opportunity to do that. You don't have to be a member of Mount Chestnut Presbyterian or anything like that. The general public is welcome to come.
Absolutely. Anybody can come, yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, you don't have to be a member to come. Yeah, everybody can be there.
Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church. I know where it is because I actually sang in that church building quite a few years ago.
Did you?
Part of the group. But for our listeners, maybe you better explain where you are.
Well, we're out on Old Route 422, 727 West Old Route 422. And if you're heading out and you come to the top of the hill there, coming outside of Butler on 422, that little intersection there.
Right at the red light.
Yeah, the red light in Mount Chestnut. just go straight through there and take the first right, kind of angles off, and our church is back there about less than a tenth of a mile on the left.
Oh, you can see it, really, from the Y right there, where you you take the right-hand
And you can see it from 422. You see the back of the church from 422. We've got 9 acres there, so
now
really
that
beautiful spot.
Is a fairly, well, I was going to say a fairly new church. Technically, it is. I mean, but it was at a the congregation was in a different location, right?
Oh,
in Mount Chestnut years ago.
Yeah, back 1858. The church goes back that far.
Wow.
And they had the old church building there, right near the light in Mount Chestnut.
It's been converted into an office building now, I believe.
Right, Pippa Chiropractic is there now. And, they built that. The new building they built in 1987 and filled it up pretty quickly. So it's a tremendous, tremendous church. We have two services on Sunday morning, 8:45 and 11 o'clock, and Sunday school in between. So it's just really, I'm so very blessed to be their pastor. Usually you go to a church and there's a honeymoon period where, a few months where, the pastor is just so wonderful. But for some reason, we just keep getting along really well.
And you've been there how long, Pastor?
A little less than 2.5 years. Yeah. Hmm. Yep.
We're chatting with Pastor Ron Schirmerhorn. He's the pastor of Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church in the village of Mount Chestnut, west of Butler. And they're going to be hosting a world-famous group, the Blackwood Quartet, this coming Saturday evening at 6 p.m. So your father was in the ministry, was he not?
He was. My father was a Nazarene minister, as a matter of fact. And, I spent a lot of my summers down the road from my church at the Mount Chestnut campground there for the Nazarene Church.
Yeah, there's a Church of the Nazarene. It's still there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the district center for the church. And, spent a lot of my summers, really the best days of my life were spent at that camp in the summertime. Hmm. All my friends from the Pittsburgh district, were there, and it was really, really wonderful. I was a Nazarene pastor for 17, 18 years, then spent 10 years in hospice ministry, and really enjoyed that. Very challenging and yet rewarding,
Very challenging.
Good years, yeah.
I've talked with some folks who have worked in hospice, and because my first thought always is, gosh, very challenging, very tough, and the response always is, I got more out of it than you can possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah, and the people that you work with, the nurses and the staff, really are just wonderful, wonderful people. So, when God called me out of that about 5 years ago to do some temporary work at a Presbyterian church in Crafton.
Suburban Pittsburgh.
Yeah, was down there for 2.5 years, and they found a pastor, wanted me to stay. They wanted me to stay there as pastor, and beautiful old building. That was an 1866 building. Mm. That was built. Oh, incredible. Incredible. Just gorgeous.
The Presbyterian tradition is a rich one here in western Pennsylvania.
It is.
A lot of Presbyterian churches go back more than a century, well over a century.
Mm-hmm.
So you came to Mount Chestnut about 2.5 years ago, you say.
Right. Yeah. It was around May. It was finally ordained into the PCUSA at that time when I came out.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from the Church of the Nazarene to the Presbyterian Church, every denomination has their requirements of schooling. and different classes that you need to take in different traditions. So I went back to seminary again to have that done. And, you know, interesting thing, whenever you go to seminary the first time, you're, 22, 23 years old, and you know everything, of course. But I went back to seminary back when I was 50, 51 years old. And, you know, that's killer, man, I'll tell you. That really taxes your brain. And then you're with these young men and women who, of course, they know everything. And so it was really, really good, very challenging. But, moved my ordination over to the PCUSA back at Mount Chestnut Church when I first got there. And it's just been amazing. Really, Dave, it's been amazing. Wonderful, wonderful people. Mm. Great church. I wish I could find something wrong to tell you, but there just isn't anything wrong. You know, they're just good people.
I chatted a little bit with the pastor on before we went on the air, and with his father being in the ministry and traveling around a great deal, you have been all over the place in your life, including being born in Canada.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was born in Trenton, Ontario. Yeah, yeah. Mm. That's a long time ago, though. I don't really remember too much about it. But I do remember we were in Trenton, Ontario, and then we went to Moncton, New Brunswick, and we moved from there down to Grove City, Pennsylvania.
And who would have believed, with all the time you spent as a kid at the Church of the Nazarene camp, that here you are a pastor literally just a stone's throw away.
It's amazing.
Got to be within a couple of miles.
Not even. I bet it's a quarter mile from the entrance of my church to the entrance of the campground.
That is amazing.
Really, really great.
And God's ways are hard to figure.
I never would have dreamed, not in 100 years would I ever have dreamed, that I would have ended up at Mount Chestnut Presbyterian.
You said you went to seminary again when you became affiliated with the Presbyterian Church. Where did you originally go to seminary?
Went to Nazarene Theological Seminary in Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were in Kansas City, you were in New England, you were in Canada, you were in Grove City, you were all over the place.
Right, yeah. I actually got called back to Kansas City and had the opportunity to do a little teaching there at the seminary while I was a pastor out there. But just, very, very rich and very rich experience, and I'm very thankful to God for that. But I'm settled now, brother. Oh, man. My church is just so wonderful. Looking forward to many years there.
Is your congregation strong? We see so many stories about some of the mainline denominations. And this cuts across the board, whether it's Presbyterian or Methodist or Catholic or whatever. They're losing numbers.
Yeah.
What about your local congregation at Mount Chestnut Presbyterian?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. We have visitors all the time coming to our church, and it's exciting. I mean, it really is. Very, very exciting to see these younger families, older couples. You know, everybody from every range of age is coming to the church, and we're just very excited about it. We really, really are. Yeah, you see that in some of the mainline churches. I think making some decisions that maybe some folks in their denomination don't agree with, and that's causing a lot of folks to leave.
We also have seen, I've seen stories on the wire, last couple of years especially, about a growing number of people here in the United States who now list none. When it comes to, you know, their religious affiliation. In fact, they call them nuns. N-O-N-E-S, nuns.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of a sad thing to see, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. Yeah, I think I think the organized church has done more to hurt Christianity than anything, really. Because we can tend to, you know, focus on our denomination has all the answers. Mm-hmm. And man, you know, I read a book back in college by J.D. Phillips. The title was Your God is Too Small, the title of that book. And he really is right, because of the one phrase that I pull from that book, and I remember now, he said, you know, no denomination has a corner on how God works in the life of the Christian. And the one thing that is so appealing to me about the Presbyterian Church and the PCUSA is the big tent. It's a very big tent. And, you know, I'm called as a Christian to love everyone and not to just to argue my denomination's perspective, you know.
We're talking with Pastor Ron Shermer Horn because his church, Mount Chestnut Presbyterian, is going to be hosting a concert by the Blackwood Quartet this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. Have you personally ever heard them before? I've heard the music, but I've never seen them in person.
Yeah, I was a boy years and years ago and saw them. And it was when, I believe it was a time in high school when I was singing with a quartet. Actually, it was a trio that I was singing with in high school. And the Cathedral Quartet were in the area. That was up in Meadville, and we sang in a concert with them. Mm. And my men's trio, my guys' trio, three of us from Meadville, pretty amazing. But it was around those years, that I had heard them. But, you know, just incredible tradition, incredible tradition. I remember my brother saw them out in Colorado, and those were the years of J.D. Sumner, you know, tremendous bass singer, just amazing. And I remember my brother describing, listening to them sing, and he said the windows, he would sing so low, J.D. Sumner, that the windows would shake in the building.
Vibrate with that low bass tone.
Yeah, well, like your bass, I'm sure, aren't you? You must be.
Bass too, yes.
Yeah, you can get down there. Yeah, that's good.
Well, here's the chance, folks. By the way, you do not have to be affiliated in any way with the Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church. The concert this Saturday night is free. Now, there'll be a free will offering.
That's right.
To cover the cost, but there's no admission charge or anything, per se. The Blackwood Quartet, and yes, there are four of them. They'll be at Mount Chestnut Presbyterian. Well, gosh, Pastor, thanks for stopping by and filling us in. It was nice to meet you, talk to you a little bit about your ministry and your church, and certainly this is a great concert coming up.
Oh, I'm just thrilled, and thank you so much, really. Thank you so much for having the opportunity to come and talk about it. We're just trying to get the word out the best we can, and I think people should come and see the Blackwoods. They're going to be amazing. I think people will just be very, very glad if they came. 6 o'clock Saturday night.
This Saturday.
Yep.
Thanks, Pastor. Nice to have you here today.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very, very much. Yeah, it's been a good talk.
Nice to talk with you. We'll take a break. We're going to be chatting with author Nicole Meyer coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn for a few minutes, and still later on the program today, Butler County Chamber President Stan Kosciuszko. So please stick around. There's more to come on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be back in just a moment or so.
It's time to celebrate the fall season with supplies from Osterling's Lawn and Garden. They have a huge selection of fall and Halloween decorations like pumpkins, corn stalks, and mums. Their fall flower bulbs are in, including the ice cream tulip, tulip mixes, crocus, and more. This time of year is great to plant grass seed, lime, and fertilize your lawn. And they have Lignetics hardwood pellets in stock to help keep the heat on for those cool fall nights. Kick off the fall season at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, where they'll have everything you'll need at a great price. What's the first step to your medical marijuana card? Compassionate Certification Centers. Don't know where to start? Visit cccregister.com. Get qualified quickly. In just one visit, medical marijuana can be yours. With 10 offices, doctors at Compassionate Certification Centers are always ready to serve you. Walk-in hours are available at all locations. Compassionate Certification Centers, the first step to your medical marijuana card. Visit cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today.
Have a good novel to talk about, listeners, on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey, and we chat with Nicole Meyer, who is the author of The Second Chance Supper Club. First of all, Nicole, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to be able to talk with you for a few minutes here on the program today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
This is newly published this fall, The Second Chance Supper Club. And it's the story of two estranged sisters who reunite, an emotional novel of family, forgiveness, and hope. So tell us about the two sisters. That's Jenny and Julia Frank, correct?
Correct, yes.
And what about
Well, yeah, you're right. They're two estranged sisters, and one is Julia is a high-profile broadcast journalist in Manhattan, and Jenny is a Michelin star-rated chef, and they haven't spoken in a handful of years and until Julia makes a terrible on-air mistake that costs her everything, and she's forced to tuck tail and leave town. And she goes running to the one person she hopes will take her in, and that is her sister, Jenny. But what she doesn't know is that her sister, Jenny, is running a secret supper club, which is sort of this new trend coming up. It's called underground dining. And she just realizes her sister's kind of been leading this secret life, and her sister agrees to take her in only if Julia will help with the business.
Hmm. Well, I must tell you, Nicole, that this concept of underground dining or secret supper clubs, I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, I hadn't either. I actually went to an independent film festival a couple of years ago, and they had a documentary on it. And it was a new concept to me, but I just was fascinated. And I actually wound up leaving that film and just started taking down notes really fast because I knew there was a story behind the story, and I thought, that's my next book.
Oh, so that was the inspiration for your story, huh?
Yeah. So underground dining is a thing. It's a new trend. It's popping up more and more in bigger cities. It's kind of like when you have a high-quality chef or a Michelin star-rated chef who's either had it with the restaurant industry or decide to go out and do something short-term on their own. It's like a pop-up restaurant, but it's in a secret location, so it's like a speakeasy. Sometimes it's in a, you know, wine cellar or an apartment or the back room of a real restaurant, and you're only invited by word of mouth or you have to know someone to get in. And so I just thought that was such a cool concept.
Ah, so that's the meaning of underground as opposed to in a cave or a tunnel somewhere.
It's just that's right.
A hidden away secret spot. And you say this is a concept that's spreading in some of the bigger cities around the country?
Yes, it's actually become quite popular among, you know, foodies and food enthusiasts. And that, you know, you're treated to such a special occasion when you go. It's usually like a 7-course meal, and the chef decides what they're preparing that night. And it's kind of like-minded people come together to experience something like that.
And obviously a fairly small number of attendees, I would suppose.
Yes, oftentimes they share a common table. Not always, but that is often the case if it's in a small location.
We're talking about a new novel written by Nicole Meyer. The title is The Second Chance Supper Club. Have you written other novels, Nicole?
I have. Actually, The Second Chance Supper Club is my third. I have two other novels. I usually write sort of family dramas, if you will. So I had another novel come out last year called The Girl Made of Clay, and that's about a famous sculptor and his daughter. And then I had another book, my debut came out in 2016, called The House of Bradbury, and that is a real-life imagining of Ray Bradbury's Los Angeles home.
Oh, wow. So, would it be fair to categorize you as an author of contemporary women's fiction?
Absolutely. I write mostly about women, for women. Also, I have men that read my books as well, but it's usually about the woman's journey, and I really enjoy that market.
We're talking to Nicole, by the way, from her home turf, which is the great northwest of the United States. You live in Oregon, right?
I do. I live smack in the middle of the state with lots of pine trees.
Oh, wow. I have to visit Oregon someday. I have to. Well, back to your novel, The Second Chance Supper Club. Obviously, we're not going to reveal everything about the novel. That's part of the fun of reading a book. But so there was this incident involving one of the sisters, Julia, and she was in New York and had to leave town and go to her strange sister, Jenny. She's the chef. Where had she set up operations? What part of the country for these underground supper clubs?
Well, I wanted to take the characters and put them somewhere foreign. So they both were in the city, but now Jenny has moved to Arizona, so they're in the desert. And I just love the setting there because it's very spiritual to me, and it's just such a great setting with all their mountains and sunsets, and I thought that would be fun to put them there.
Yeah, you got the cactus, you got the mountains, you got the desert, you got the sunsets. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you have to do any research about mouth-watering recipes in the course of writing this book, Nicole?
I did. That was so much fun. I watched a lot of YouTube videos of chefs, and especially Michelin star-rated chefs, because they take their food and their menus to a whole new level. And that was really fun for me to just research that.
Can we hint at the reason that these two sisters became estranged? Because they were pretty close earlier in life, right?
Yes, we can. Yeah, they were close. And I think this is sort of a common theme with readers that they could identify with is Julia and Ginny, their parents died, and one sibling was forced to pick up the slack and go home and sell the estate and clean up the mess, and the other sibling sort of just stood back and, you know, didn't do much work. And I think that that's common with so many people. When they lose someone in the family, there's usually one family member that will step up and take on the brunt of the work where the others don't feel comfortable doing that, and it does cause a rift between siblings.
I'm sure that there are a lot of our listeners who can identify with that, if not personally, at least they've heard about it in the families of some of their friends. It is quite common, unfortunately.
Right.
But this is, we want to make sure that people know this is a novel of lost hope. I mean, hopefully good things to come, right?
Yes, good things to come, and I've had early readers tell me that it's a feel-good book, so you should walk away with a good feeling. There is redemption at the end.
Does everything take place in the Arizona desert?
Yes, it does.
The title of the book is The Second Chance Supper Club, and it is just newly out, right, Nicole?
It's just newly out. It came out on the 10th, which was Tuesday.
I'm intrigued by this concept of secret supper clubs. Do you have to have a password or something to get in? You know, there's a little trap door in the front door. They open the hall, and you got to give the password to get in, or something like that.
Right. Well, usually, you know, a friend will tell you about it, and you can just call in once you find out about it and get a reservation. I do know a woman who runs a supper club in the Los Angeles area, and that is more word of mouth, and I think they book like 3 months out for reservations.
Hmm. Were you ever able to actually visit one of these underground clubs in the course of your research?
Not during my research, no, but I definitely would love to do more of that. I am kind of a foodie, so I love going to things like that.
There's one other character that we should mention, obviously many others, but one other main character, and that is Olive. Who is Olive, and how does she figure into this relationship between the two estranged sisters?
Right, so Olive is Ginny's 21-year-old daughter, and she is sort of a rebel. She's forced to work in this underground dining restaurant as well, and she's not very happy about it. And I think that any of your listeners who have young adult children could probably relate to that pushback you get as they sort of come into their own and want to be their own independent adult, but the parent still needs them to pitch into the family business. So there's definitely a lot of tension there among the women throughout the first half of the story.
So Olive is the daughter of Ginny, that's correct?
Yes.
And who's the, of the two estranged sisters, who's the older?
Ginny's the oldest sister, and Julia's the younger sister.
Mm-hmm. So the younger one comes running to the older one.
Well, right.
It's a fascinating concept, the Second Chance Supper Club. Any possibility that these two characters will continue on in another novel, Nicole, or aren't you available to talk about that right now?
You know, I'm not sure. I have had a couple people say that they would like another book that shows their lives moving forward, but I also like to just write one book as a standalone at a time and then move on to the next concept. So we'll see what the future holds. I'm not quite sure yet.
Do you spend a few pages describing delicious menus and dinners?
Oh, absolutely. There's food on the cover of the book. There's lots of food throughout the book, and that's the most fun.
Yeah, you do have a very pretty cover. I've got an advanced reader's copy in my hand right now, and there are all sorts of interesting things, some of which you might find on an ordinary family's supper table, and some other things that you would not. And
I put a lot of farmer's market scenes in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're talking about a famous chef, and Ginny is, did you say a Michelin-rated chef? Is that right?
Yes, she is. Yes.
So that means top-notch, right?
Yes.
Michelin doesn't give their rating to just anybody. Nicole Meyer is the author. Her last name is spelled M-E-I-E-R, by the way. Do you have a website, Nicole, where people can find out more about you and your books?
I do, thank you. It's NicoleMeyerAuthor.com, and you're right, Meyer is M-E-I-E-R.
Nice to meet you, Nicole. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you. So nice to meet you.
Nicole Meyer, author of the Second Chance Supper Club.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here on a Monday. Not the prettiest of days, but we're making our own sunshine here today. Our next guest visit with us from the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Stan Kosciuszko is the president of the chamber. Always good to see you, Stan.
Good to be back. My first fall show.
That's right. We were talking as we came into the studio today about we've had some rain before, but this seems like the first real chilly rain of autumn,
yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, it is cold. I almost expected to have to put the scrapers on my windows.
Yeah, and we're in the 50s, but it's just so wet, and it's a chilly rain today.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we have lots of sunshine coming later in the week. Also with us is Jordan Grady, who's the executive director of the Butler County Chamber. Jordan, good to see you again, too.
Good to see you as well. Thank you.
New on the job as executive director, we might say. Actually, this is a new position, isn't it, Stan?
Brand new position. Yeah, the chamber has gotten so busy, as you know, with our activities that the board thought that we needed additional help there. And rather than hire administrative personnel, I thought it might be nice to kind of elevate that mid-level person and hire an executive director.
Mm-hmm.
This way, Jordan can represent the chamber at some of the functions that I just don't have time to represent us on. Now, he's also doing a lot of the administrative stuff that an administrator would be doing. But I think it's nice to have the executive director position.
And you were familiar with him, as many of the board members were, I'm sure, from his work with the leadership at our county.
It was not a hard sell to get them to convince them to hire Jordan. The nice thing is that Jordan is still working for ANR, the Alliance for Nonprofit Resources, and Mike Rubb has loaned him to us as an executive. So we have a contract with ANR for X amount of hours a month for Jordan's services. So what that does is the chamber did not have to put him on as personnel. But we still have the benefits of having him there for almost full time. And then ANR covers his benefits and other, and then they send us a bill every month and we reimburse them.
Busy schedule, though, Jordan, right?
It can be. I enjoy it, though.
Probably as busy as you've been since you were in undergraduate school.
Yeah, well my mom and dad always used to say, those who are busy are never bored. So I'm just rolling with the punches.
Well, that's a nice saying for mom and dad. That's good advice.
Dave, I don't know if you remember when we were Jordan's age. If you think back, the number of things that we accomplished that we used to do. You know, you get older and you just cannot handle that many.
That's true.
Diverse functions.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Jordan's background. Are you from this area originally?
Originally from a small town in West Virginia, Romney. And then my family moved across the river to a city area for more of a exposure for basketball recruiting for my brother and I when we were younger. Mm-hmm. So humble beginnings to small city to Slip Rock University.
So you played high school basketball?
I did, yes, sir.
Did you play at Slippery Rock?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What position?
I was a stretch power forward. Originally supposed to be like a bigger wing, just was unable to guard other wings, so had to go down and be an undersized forward.
Well, you got good practice in balancing your responsibilities. While you were going to school playing basketball full time, that's not easy in college.
No, it's not. It really taught me time management, and I developed some discipline in college that has definitely carried over today.
And you majored in what at Slippery Rock?
So my undergrad degree was a dual major in accounting and finance, and then I have a MBA with a focus on marketing.
Mm. And you coached for a while, didn't you?
I did not. My brother is the coach at the university. I did not dabble into the coaching scene. I went to the other side of officiating.
And what about your work with the Alliance for Nonprofit Resources? What do you do there?
So we have a credit card processing division, and I kind of oversee it. And what we do is anyone who processes their payments through our ISO, we would give back 20% of the profit generated on each transaction to a charity of their choice. So that's what I was originally hired for at ANR. And, of course, my role expanded a little bit throughout the years, and now I'm very happy to be at both places.
Processes their credit card through their ISO. What's an ISO?
So it's an independent sales organization. So we're a registered independent sales organization under a Pittsburgh-based processing company called Pineapple Payments.
Hmm. Satisfying work there?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a good twist on a relatively hard sell. So it's been good.
Did you know what an ISO was, Stan, or is it just me that's in the dark?
No, I was in the dark about that. You know, I go and I swipe my credit card or I put in my chip and that's about it. Then I get my bill and I write the check. But between there and here, I don't want to know about it.
And how long have you been serving in this position as executive director?
About 2 months now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So settling in?
Definitely settling in and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mainly focused on increasing the membership and membership retention and helping with event coordination and other administrative tasks. It's been a rewarding challenge.
Well, your membership is pretty big, as I recall, Stan.
Membership is good, and Jordan started on July 29th, actually. And since then, he's gotten close to 20 new members, which is remarkable because the end of the year, people normally don't think about joining the chamber. They mm-hmm. do that at the beginning of the year, first two quarters. But Jordan has convinced them to go ahead and join, and I guess he's been offering discounts.
You can join any time. You know, it's not just one time during the year that you can join the chamber.
Yeah, we're one of the rare chambers. We bill annually, mm-hmm. and if you join towards the end of the year, then we prorate your credit for the following year. So somebody who joins now only gets billed for, you know, a portion of the year next year. Mm-hmm. So that's how we do that. But, of course, membership is our bread and butter. The bulk of my operating budget comes from membership dues. So he's substantiating his own salary.
We're talking,
but it's not a sales position by any way, shape, or form. That's not what he was hired to be.
The Chamber has an interesting event coming up later this week, I believe. Women Shaping Our Region. Can we talk about that a little bit, Stan?
Women Shaping Our Region. I'm real proud of this seminar that we're doing. It's going to be on Friday, October 11th. from 8 until 11:30, breakfast, and it's going to be at the Regional Learning Alliance. Now, if you want to attend, you can call the chamber. It's only $30 to attend. The breakfast is unbelievable. The chef got real creative. And we have quite a panel. It's going to be moderated by Commissioners Oshie and Geyer, which is rare for a county, especially in Pennsylvania, to have two female commissioners.
Indeed. Yeah.
So we're very fortunate. Now, the way this came about, we did a bunch of seminars last year, Growing Butler seminars. And at the last one, I noticed that we hadn't had any women on the panels. So, you know, I told my officers on board, we need to highlight some of the women in our region that have a strong, powerful influence. And in researching it, we found out that the head of the Pittsburgh Foundation is Lisa Schroeder. The vice president of the Shell Cracker Plant in Beaver County that's getting all of that attention right now is a female. The CEO of Leadership Pittsburgh, female. Chairman and CEO of Heffron Tillotson, female. President and CEO, Jewish Healthcare Foundation, female. And then we were fortunate enough that Lisa Sylvester from WPXI said she would emcee it for us. But in speaking to Lisa, I think her story as a worker, as a female, and an African-American female in the world of journalism, she used to work at CNN, I think her story is much more important than having her MC. We all know she's a competent newscaster and could MC stellar performance, but we want them to tell their story. And so we have a few topics that we're going to discuss. Each of them will have time to respond to that. And then if we have time, we will get questions and answers from the audience. Now, we're almost sold out on it, but we do still have some seats left.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a panel of speakers there. Wow.
Exceptional panel speakers. Now, we originally had Catherine Kellerman from the Port Authority, but she, an emergency came up and she can't attend. But it's amazing in looking at this, the head of the Airport Authority, and she was unable to come, is a female. The head of the Allegheny Conference, Stephanie Pashman, female. And I just think it's important that we highlight these women and the impact they have on our, not only our present, but our future here in Southwest Pennsylvania. It's amazing. And of course, what our two commissioners, what our full board of commissioners have done, but in particular the two females that are on that board, I think have lent a totally different slant to county government. And I think it's important that they're there and that we recognize them.
We had, on rare occasions, a woman as a county commissioner, but never two at the same time until...
Never two at the same time. Never two at the same time. And also two businesswomen. I mean, Leslie Oshie she started her job at the Chamber of Commerce. She was at the Pittsburgh Arts Festival. She ran United Way. Kim Geyer, her and her husband, own a business. She was a flight attendant. She knew what it was like to work long hours and raise a family. So it's nice that they have the backgrounds that they need to, you know, kind of be able to relate to the citizens of Butler County and still maintain that level of professionalism and progressivism.
So. I've seen the poster that you have for your Women Shaping Our Region event coming up.
And it's beautiful.
Rosie the Riveter, right?
Yeah, Rosie the Riveter. She was unable to attend. But the Butler Eagle designed all of the flyers, and they designed all of this for us and the business matters. And they've just been a phenomenal partner. And the reason we're able to only charge $30 for this breakfast and all of this is because of our sponsors. And I'm just going to name a couple of the sponsors.
Please do, yeah.
CDC of Butler County, NextTier Bank, Armstrong, Frames and Pixels, Heffron Tillotson, Pennsylvania American Water, CW Howard Agency, and I think I mentioned Armstrong Business Matters, St. Barnabas Health System. And we're doing this in partnership with the United Way Women's Leadership Council. So
you said you still have a few spots left. Is this open to anybody who wants
to
come?
It's open to anyone who wants to attend. Yeah. Now, the Butler Eagle has advertised this pretty heavily. It's been on our website. So we have some women that just found out about it because they saw it in the paper and they made their reservation. So it's going to be nice. It'll be a really nice event. We're hoping to continue this tradition and perhaps annually have a women's conference. Because my chamber feels as though women do have different specific needs than their male counterparts, and they do have some different ways of looking at things. You know, like my board is probably made up 50-50 men and women, mm-hmm. and it's nice to have the men, as we all know, think differently and look at an issue and a problem differently, and the women add something different to that. So we have to have diversity in everything we do.
And the stories that they'll be able to share this Friday are different as well as they came up through the ranks.
I mean, I sent you their bios. It's incredible. It is incredible. I mean, you look at Hillary Mercer, and she has an engineering degree from Oxford. I'm thinking, whoa. And then Kim Tillotson Fleming from Heffron Tillotson, they are so community involved. Dr. Feinstein from the Jewish Healthcare Foundation, Ardana Oliphant from Leadership Pittsburgh, and Lisa Schroeder. I mean, when you look at their backgrounds, they have been all over the world, and they have had an impact everywhere they were. And I'm excited to meet a couple of the women I do know, a couple of them I have never met, but I'm looking forward to meeting them.
I've seen Lisa Sylvester, of course, on WPXI Channel 11. In the evenings. I did not know that she had previously worked for ABC News and for Wolf Blitzer at CNN.
Yeah. I'm sure she has some good stories to tell. We're going to hear from
Absolutely.
It. And you figure Hillary Mercer, that Shell Cracker plant is the largest construction project going on right now in the United States. So, and they felt confident enough to transfer her from Tokyo to Beaver County. So she should have some stories to tell.
Her stories will be a little bit different from Rosie the Riveter. Jordan, you're far too young. Did you ever hear of Rosie the Riveter?
Sadly, I have not.
I told him the story, but he went in one ear and out the other. He said, tweet it.
Well, it's actually a fictional character, and it's applicable to us here in Butler, because during World War II, when so many, the vast majority, of men were either enlisting or drafted into the Army for World War II, women took over jobs in industry that had previously been held only by men. And here in Butler, there were a great many women who went to work at the Austin Bantam car plant, started turning out torpedo shells.
Mm-hmm. They were not making
cars anymore, but torpedo shells. And it was women who went to work.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. And that's where this this fictional character of Rosie the Riveter was invented, because women worked on building aircraft, too, for World War II.
Yeah, I mean, my aunts had stories. They've, of course, all passed away, but they would say, you know, my husband went to the war, my fiance went to war, so I went and worked at the bronze company. Mm-hmm. I went to work at the steel factory. And they finished the war effort and helped out that way.
Well, I imagine that Hillary Mercer, who is vice president of the Shell cracker plant that they're building in Beaver County, will have a few different stories to tell than Rosie the Riveter.
Yes, yes.
I think so. This is a great conference coming up this Friday.
It really is a great conference, yeah. I rarely toot my own horn, but I'm real proud that we were able to coordinate this one. I'm very pleased at the cooperation we got, and we'll see how it's going to turn out. So you'll want to talk to me on Monday, see if I'm still alive.
And this takes place at the Regional Learning Alliance. If you're not familiar with that, it's in Cranberry, Cranberry Woods area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I imagine it's most of the day, or at least half a day. It must be.
It's going to start at 8, breakfast at 8, and it'll be over around 11:30, 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. We need to take a break. We'll do that. We'll be back to talk more with our guests, with Stan and Jordan here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Back right after these words. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Going Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. I'm trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Gowan Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Gowan Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Gowan Postal Butler.
When it's time to choose a funeral home, there are many things to consider. The facility itself, does it provide the atmosphere that the occasion requires? Are they people I can comfortably talk with about the kind of services I need? Is the cost within my budget? Should we consider cremation? There are so many questions. Let Thompson Miller Funeral Home and Butler help you with some answers. After all, Thompson Miller has been serving the Butler community since 1927. The same family has been serving Butler for 92 years. They are in many ways truly a part of our community. Thompson Miller provides complete services with dignity in the funeral home, at gravesite, and for entombment. Thompson Miller will help you through the process with advice, counsel, experience, and compassion. Call us and we'll help you make these important and sensitive decisions. 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit us online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Details.
Welcome back, good friends. With us, guests from the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, the Executive Director, Jordan Grady, is here. The President of the Chamber, Stan Kosciuszko. We're talking about events that are coming up. There is a meet and move. Oh, wait a minute. You're going to be dedicating the Leadership Butler County project, right? Coming up soon.
Jordan's class project.
Yes.
Jordan's a graduate of Leadership Butler County.
That's going to be Thursday out at Glade Run from 4 to 5 p.m. There'll be light refreshments served.
So recap that project for us, Jordan.
So we raised almost $30,000and rebuilt both the indoor and outdoor horse arenas for their equine assisted therapy. Is that correct pronunciation for that?
And all the stables, they redid
all. And all the stables. Our class chair was actually torn it this weekend, and we were texting back and forth yesterday. He just was so impressed with how different it looks. So we're very proud that our group completed that legacy project.
And this is at Glade Run Adventures, down in the Zeelie Doppler area.
Yep, and I believe it's on Beaver Road. Right there in Zeelie, you would hook a left right there at that light, and it's about half mile out on your left.
So have you seen it? Is it all done?
It is all done. Our chair went out and toured it this weekend, and I have not seen it personally, but he was raving about just how incredible it looks, and I can't wait to see it personally.
Is this like an artificial turf, or what do they put down?
So there's it's a special type of surface, and it's for the horses, and it's better for their legs and joints, because what the main problem was is the arenas were worn out and it was causing injuries to the animals, some being life-threatening, others being career-threatening, and other injuries taking longer to recover than usual because of the footings. So it is a special type of surface, and it's a mix of a dirt and some other materials. And it's I believe we have at least a 25-year guarantee on that, if not longer.
I've read a little bit about, there's various kinds of animal therapy, but equine therapy, use of horses to help people. I don't know a lot about it. How did your leadership class ever hit on this as a project? Was somebody in the class familiar with what happens there?
So the CEO at Glade Run, Stephen Green's on the Leadership Butler County Board. So he approached the director of Glade Run Adventures, which hosts that program, about submitting an application for our project. And they came and just gave a phenomenal pitch to our class back in, I believe, last November out of BC3. And, we instantly fell in love with the project and what they were trying to do out there.
How did you ever raise $30,000?
We did it in a variety of ways. We had a murder mystery dinner back in May, and that was a big fundraiser for us. And then we sold stall sponsorships for the stalls we did in the indoor arena out in Glade Run, and we sold 25 of them. And we also had a cornhole tournament that really put us over the edge.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it was a month or so ago.
Yeah, right down here at Shell Crow at Pullman Park.
Pullman Park.
Yeah, beautiful day, too.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you'll have the ribbon cutting and the dedication this week.
Yeah, we actually have a couple ribbon cuttings in October. We have Edward Jones in downtown Butler on the 16th in the evening from 5:30 to 7:30.
New location,
located right by Sir Speedy in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we're Hudson Business Services. They moved, and we're doing their ribbon cutting, and I believe that's the 22nd of October. And that's going to be an evening 5 to 7 deal, and I believe the ribbon cutting is scheduled to happen at 6 p.m., so it's a very active month for our chamber.
Mm-hmm. And that's good for business, Dan.
It is good for business.
What's good for business is good for the local economy.
You had mentioned about the projects, and the new leadership class started last September.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, Leadership Butler County, one of their requirements is that the class does a collective project. Now, it can be expansive, it can be small, it can be any size, and they've been in here talking about some of their projects. They did the Learning Trail out at the Children's Center, the Garden of Hope. But what we do is we send out a notice, a request for proposal for a project to probably 100 different nonprofits in Butler County. So if any of you are out there listening and you haven't gotten that proposal either from CCR or from the United Way, contact the chamber, and we will get that information to you. And so that's how they get the ideas for the projects. Then the class narrows it down to the ones they like best, and then they vote, and majority wins. And last year it was the Glade Run Equestrian Project. The equestrian program helps autistic children and special needs. And as it turned out, after the project was accepted, one of the participants in the leadership class, his daughter is autistic. And one of the other ones, her granddaughter is autistic. Mm. And they both take advantage of an equestrian program.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it is wonderful when you see that it actually touched somebody individually and they could talk about what it meant to their daughter, their granddaughter. So it is really a wonderful program. So if any nonprofits are out there listening and you're looking for some help with a project, just contact the chamber, and I'll send you the information.
You want to submit an application pretty soon because the new class will be selecting.
The new class will probably be selecting in November because they have to get started on it if it's going to require money. Now, some of the projects don't require any money. They get everything donated, and it's a hands-on project. Some of them require more funds to complete that.
There's one other event we want to mention, but we have to squeeze in a final message here, so let's do that. We'll be back to wrap up our Monday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR right after this.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Welcome back. There's another event coming up this month that the Chamber is jointly sponsoring with Butler Health System. And this, Stan, this will be of great interest to business people here in the area.
Great interest to business people and also to just any citizen out there that is involved mm-hmm. or has somebody who's taking medical marijuana. Along with Butler Health System, the Chamber on Thursday, October 24th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in Findlay Auditorium at the Butler Memorial Hospital in the Tower. We're sponsoring a medical marijuana movement seminar. And we're calling it Charlotte's Web, Navigating the Growing Movement. There's so much confusion around medical marijuana that we decided to invite someone from Greenbrier Treatment Center and also an attorney, Scott Hardy, to come and talk about the myth about medical marijuana. How do employers test their employees? If someone is on medical marijuana and it's a doctor's prescription, you're tested differently. So there are different requirements, things that have to be put into your personnel manual. Because it's a fact of life, this is here to stay. It is helping millions of people around the world. And so the stigma of marijuana, especially in the medical world, has been lifted. But you have to know how to deal with your employee issues on that. So this will give you a lot of information. I encourage anyone that's listening out there, be an employer or an employee that is, you know, benefiting health-wise from medical marijuana, please call the chamber, make your reservation to attend this seminar. And I really thank Butler Health System for coming up with the idea. I've been wanting to coordinate one for a long time, but I haven't had the wherewithal to do that. Mm-hmm. So Butler Health System sits down, we'll do this for you. They found us two really good presenters. And again, it's Thursday, October 24th from 1 to 3 p.m., and there's no charge.
And that'll be coming up soon. Can you believe it's October 7th already?
I know.
Be coming up before you know it, and we'll be carving our pumpkins and putting our costumes on.
That we will. Hey, nice to have you guys here today.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. Jordan Grady is the Executive Director of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, and the President is here as well, Stan Kosciuszko. Good to have you.
Thank you very much. And contrary to what people, when we announced that we were hiring Jordan as executive director, everybody called me and congratulated me on my retirement. And I said, no, Jordan is not the president. Stan is still the president. Jordan is the executive director.
We got it.
You got it. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, my pleasure. That wraps up our program for today. We thank our previous guests and hope you can join us tomorrow for the Tuesday edition. Now it's your turn here on WISR 1230 tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.